You are listening to the Smart Betting Club podcast with me, your host, Peter Ling. For the very latest on what it takes to make your betting profitable, including the experts you should follow, please visit the SBC website at smartbettingclub.com. In today's podcast, I spoke with Alex Veller from the Trademate Sports platform to understand more on the edge it gives punters looking to make a profit from their betting. Trademate offers a unique tool designed to help users find value bets with both soft and sharp bookmakers, and Alex explained more on how it all works and who it is suitable for. We also discussed what often separates winners from losers when betting, the good and bad of the bookmaking world, and the concept behind closing line value and why this matters. If you enjoyed today's episode and this series of interviews with betting experts, please be sure to leave a review wherever you download your podcasts. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the Smart Betting Club podcast. How are you doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very good, very good. I appreciate you coming on. You're in Australia. It's very early in the morning for you. So I appreciate you getting up nice and early to kind of answer my questions.
Ah, it's not too bad, mate. Pleasure being on. I've been listening to a few of your other, I've listened to all the episodes, I think, now. And yeah, it's a good listen, mate. So yeah, honoured to be invited on.
Well, yeah, it's great to have you on. You know, the tables have turned today. I was, you know, lucky enough to go on your own podcast earlier this year. It's my turn to grill you on the kind of company you work for, Trademate Sports. Do you want to kick things off talking about Trademate and what it is you do there?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're a value betting software. I guess the easiest way to put it is we just track the sharpest bookmakers in the world. And every time a soft bookmaker or, you know, your Bet365s, your Unibets, Marathon Bet, the list goes on. I think we support 90 to 100 soft bookmakers. So every time they're slow at changing their odds, a trade or a value bet gets sent out to our customers, and whatever bookmakers they follow, they just jump onto that bookmaker and bet at the odds that we tell them to. And yeah, I mean, that's just a very general description of how it works. I assume all your listeners understand kind of what value betting is. So I guess the sharpest bookmakers in the world, like your Pinnacles and stuff like that, they set the most accurate odds because they're market driven. So anytime their odds drop, we just kind of get on the back of them. And because the soft bookmakers are a bit slow at changing there, so it gives a good opportunity to make a value bet.
And the good thing about what you do is it's all automated. It's like systems behind it, algorithms. So I've talked to other tipsters on the podcast who, you know, it's all human based. They're looking for errors in the odds and they're using their own evaluations to work that out. But, you know, you've got a system that kind of alerts you. So you could, any given day, you could place hundreds, perhaps thousands of trades based on what the system throws up. Is that right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think the best part is that you could start Trademate and have absolutely no idea what sports betting is, what sports are. Like, you know, with Trademate myself, I've probably placed somewhere around 7,000 trades, I would say, and I could not go back and tell you five of them, mate. Like, I've got no idea. So it's just, there's no human involvement at all. It's just based on numbers, which I think that's just the best way people should treat their sports betting. It shouldn't really be too much off your opinion. It should be whether there's value there and whether you can beat the closing lines or not. So yeah, it's just all numbers based, mate. And yeah.
And so you talk about there, you use it yourself and you couldn't name it, but what about your own background and how did you get into betting and then obviously with Trademate themselves?
Yeah, mate, compared to some of your other guests, I haven't got a background of 30 years or anything like that in betting. I mean, I was just like any normal person from a young age, loved to have a bet on the horses, sports betting, all that kind of stuff. And then I moved to Norway about 18 months ago and I just finished my university degree in business and marketing and was looking for a bit of work there and started an internship with Trademate, just doing kind of content-driven stuff, marketing kind of stuff. And yeah, I think did an internship for 4 or 5 months and then got offered a full-time job about just over a year ago with Trademate. So yeah, I'm no betting expert or anything like that, but I guess just throughout my time at Trademate, learning about value betting, doing lots of research, talking to smart people like yourself, and I mean, doing our own podcast, probably talked to, you know, 30 to 40 people so far. So yeah, just learning off others, mate. And yeah, I guess that's kind of been my journey. Just learn a lot in the last year and
The good point about what you're doing is obviously as you're coming from a background of not someone particularly with a skilled betting history and just someone, if you like, coming off the street who's able to use services like TradeMate and kind of without any necessary betting knowledge, you've got sporting knowledge, you know, you understand about different sports. And we're just chatting prior to the podcast about Arsenal and your love of them and, you know, you understand the football and all these kind of sports going on. But that's what I like about TradeMate. You can come off the street and start to use it. And anyway, I was going to ask you about your own experience using it because I know you've done some videos about how you've, you know, doubled your bank in a few months using some of the packages. Could you just detail how that's worked for you and what you're able to achieve through using TradeMate?
Yeah, so it's probably, I mean, we've got four different subscription packages. So you can go, we've got Nordics package where you can just bet with like three government bookies basically in the Nordic region. And then you've also got the TradeMate US package. So you can bet with all the US supported bookmakers and just on US sports. But I guess the main package is TradeMate Core. So that's the one that supports the 9100 soft bookmakers, something like that. And yeah, I did a little, when I first started, when I was doing my internship, you can go and watch the video series. I did a little 1K to 2K challenge to see how quickly I could grow my bankroll, just I guess double my bankroll with TradeMate Core. So I guess we can go through how that went. And then there's the TradeMate Pro, which supports the sharp bookmakers and exchanges too. So Pinnacle, SBO, Dafabet. I mean, SBO and Dafabet aren't really your true sharp bookmakers nowadays because they have started limiting people. And then the exchanges, so Matchbook and Betfair too. So that's kind of an overview of all the packages that we have. But I would say 80-ish percent of our customers use TradeMate Core.
Okay, and that's using with soft bookmakers because you just touched on it there. What I like, you've got a pathway so people can be an absolute beginner through to advanced professionals, you're experienced at betting and can only bet with some of the sharp bookmakers. Because you can start off, like say, with bonuses and match betting, build your bankroll, shift to the core, which obviously where's where most of the people lie. And then obviously once if soft bookmakers start to restrict you, and we'll probably get onto that, you can shift over to like the Dafabet, Betfairs and Matchbooks of this world. When we're talking about core, for example, what are the top guys using core making in terms of profit or return on investment? Those 80% of users, you're using the core package.
Yeah, it's a good question, mate. And it's there's no real straight answer because it's all just based on how much time you put in for one, but most importantly, what your starting bankroll is. So, I mean, I can run you through how I went on my journey from 1K to 2K. So 1K is like the, or £1,000, €1,000 is kind of the absolute minimum that you should be starting TradeMate with because you have the problem of paying a subscription fee and then you want to be able to make a nice profit on top of that. So if I go through how much I made, it took me 3 months to go from 1K to 2K. And if you factor in the subscription fee, it depends what subscription fee you went with. If you went for the quarterly fee, then I would have made $800 in 3 months. But I actually achieved just above my closing EV. So if you go and factor in the closing EV, which was 574, so that's my expected profit for 3 months. And then you subtract the subscription fee, then we're looking at only a profit of like $274, which I mean, I assume most people are not really interested in putting 3 months of work in for that amount of profit. So if you're going to start with €1,000, $1,000, you have to be incredibly lucky to make it worth your while. Whereas our kind of maximum or the most ideal amount you'd want to be starting with, and I don't really want to be giving people financial advice because if I tell someone start with €5,000 and you go on a bad run to start off with and you're down to, you know, €3,000 or something like that, that's just a terrible way to start your journey. And it's not really nice to lose that amount of money. So you should only be losing that amount of money or starting with €5,000 if that's what you're comfortable with losing, if you've got that financial capability. So if I just go back to if with my journey, if I'd started with $5,000, my closing EV would have been $2,870. So that's my expected profit after 3 months. And then if you factor in the subscription fee on top of that, my expected overall profits would have been $2,570, which sounds a lot more nicer, doesn't it, than the figure I said before when starting with $1,000. So, and then in terms of how I actually went, if I'd started with $5,000, I would have made 5,500 because I achieved over my expected value. So, yeah, I hope that wasn't too confusing, but I guess it just shows, you know, the difference between making $700 and the difference between making $5,000, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all, you know, in line with the betting bank that you're comfortable with, and you can build that up using the, if you're starting out and you haven't got much bankroll, you know, you don't want to be pretending you've got a 10,000 euro bankroll or whatever it is. And, you know, the money you should be betting with should be that you're comfortable with and happy to lose if ultimately for a period of time, if you have a negative variance period. So just there, you mentioned EV, and let's probably get into that. What do you mean by EV for those, you know, not familiar with the term?
Yeah, so I mean, expected value in sports betting, I guess the only measurement, as you'd know, is, or the best measurement we can go off to measure how much we should be making from our sports betting is the closing line. So the closing line, for those who don't know, incorporates all the information in the market before a game kicks off. So, you know, we can take Liverpool-Tottenham, which was played earlier today. By the time of kickoff, at whatever time it was, that's, you know, there's millions and millions of dollars that have gone into those prices. So the odds that Liverpool ended up with at closing time, I've got no idea what they were, but they're the most accurate measurement of the true odds of Liverpool to win and predicting what their actual probability is. So if you can beat that number, you know, thousands of times, which is what TradeMate does, you can't 100% say you're definitely going to make money from sports betting, but it's just the best measurement to go by. And mathematically, statistically, you're expected to make money over a big sample size. So, yeah, I hope that explains kind of expected value. You know, if you're betting on Liverpool to win at 2.2 and they close, if, you know, they get to closing price just before kickoff at 2-in odds, I know it's only 20 cents, but you start racking up those little, you know, bits of accumulation over thousands of trades and it turns into a huge, huge sum of expected value profit. Like I said before, the more you bet, the bigger your bankroll is, the bigger that expected value is.
So it's a really good metric for judging how good you are beating the market. And although you don't actually see those profits in your account, expected value profits, it's a guideline to maybe how lucky or how unlucky you have been. You know, we talk about negative and positive variance here. You obviously use closing value as a way to kind of say, well, you know, with your own betting to say, well, I did better than I should have done here, or I'm actually worse off. So do you use it in that way for yourself, in your own betting, using TradeMate to weigh that up and to kind of put results into perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it, mate? It's hard to get into the mindset of I care more about whether I get closing line value over winning the bet. Like, for anyone in the world, that's a very, very hard concept to understand. So, I mean, even myself, I go in to see my TradeMate results the morning after I wake up and see how I went. The first thing you check is whether it won or lost, right? You're not going to go and check whether you beat the closing line. And maybe that's just because there's a TradeMate thing. Maybe it's just because I know that TradeMate, I'm going to beat the closing line 80% of the time, something like that, just because I know I've taken a value bet. So if there's one piece of advice you want to give people is don't try and track your long-term performance based on your ROI. Check it based on how many times you beat the closing line, because that is the most reliable number that you can look at, or statistic to look at, to judge whether what you're doing is long-term or has long-term profitability.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I hear other experts I've interviewed on the podcast and I've emailed and talked to, you talk about horse racing, talk about SP, bet for SP, how the odds you take, or you think of value compared to the final odds, the closing line odds, a really important metric. I also wanted to ask you about the pro package, because, you know, we talked about it's a pathway. So most people are using core because most people kind of fit in within that demographic. But for those guys with a, you know, a larger bankroll, probably looking at 10K upwards, the pro package provides that ability to bet with sharp bookmakers. But then you're betting, and perhaps your kind of ROI is much more reduced, you know, 1-2% potentially. How much time do people using the pro package putting into it? And, you know, is that kind of accurate, 1-2% in terms of a likely return on investment?
Yeah. So, I mean, the pro package it kind of has to be broken down into bookmakers in terms of how we perform. Like, I can sit here and 100% say we have an edge against Dafabet and SBO. But the problem there is that they've just, you know, in the last few years, they've started limiting customers. Like, we're talking about limitations that are sometimes worse than what a soft bookie does. But then we've got customers that have made thousands of dollars from them and haven't suffered any limitations. So I guess, like with any bookmaker, limitations could kind of be a bit of a lottery in terms of when it happens. So yeah, like I said, I can sit here and say that we've probably got something around a, just looking at our results, which I should probably get up, but it's something around a 1% ROI against Dafferbet and SBO, maybe a little bit bigger. But then when it comes to Betfair and Matchbook, it's like, I think we're running at a negative ROI just because people don't understand the concept of commission rate. So if you've got a high commission rate, you're going to find it incredibly hard to make a profit on the exchanges. But if you have a lower commission rate, then you should be able to find some value there. And then overall, I just think with Trademate Pro is that it's called Trademate Pro for a reason. Like, it's not for the standard punter coming off the street trying sports betting for the first time to go out and try and make a profit using, like, this is a tool that maybe someone even like myself isn't good enough to use it. Like, you have to have so much experience in sports betting and understand how the markets work, which bookmakers are reacting to market changes in different ways, how the market overall changes to certain scenarios. We've also got the big data tool inside our system where you can look at all the results of our customers on Betfair and Matchbook and SBO and Dafferbet, every single bookmaker. And you can kind of filter through certain presets to see, like, how are they performing on soccer at the odds range of 1 to 2 on Asian handicap, all these kind of things you can filter. And, I mean, someone like smart sports trader Ryan Bruno, who people might have heard of before, he recently just did a review of Trademate also, and he kind of went through some of the presets that he was able to snuff out on the big data tool of things that have actually been profitable for people on the exchanges. So yeah, overall Trademate Pro, and then you've also got Pinnacle too. But I mean, if you can beat Pinnacle, you're doing a very, very, very good job. Like, you really need to be sharp to be beating Pinnacle. So I think we try and tell people that, yeah, you can beat SBO and Dafferbet with Trademate 100%. But if you want to be using the exchanges and try and make a profit there or using Pinnacle, you need to do a ton of research. You need to have a lot of experience and, yeah, just spend a lot of time going through the big data tool and stuff like that, and try a few different benchmarks out and see if you can make a profit that way.
Yeah, presumably by the time someone's got the kind of bankroll to use Pro, they've probably got that level of experience of betting and, you know, the time, if you like, to invest. I've listened to some of your podcasts with some of the other people using Trademate, obviously at high stakes, and they're kind of quite skilled people in terms of understanding of the betting markets. And as part of the review we just did of Trademate, you know, I spoke with Marius, one of the team behind Trademate, and he gave me some presets, and it was very much, you know, here's some ideas to get you started. But
yeah,
the thinking was, the more you can put into this, the more you can get out of it. I presume that's kind of the ethos behind Pro.
100%. And it's the same with Trademate Core too. Like, we give recommended presets away for Trademate Core, but I can guarantee that they're not like the 100% best presets you can use. They're very, very good presets and they will make you profit over a long time. You know, the customers who are really dedicated to this, they'll spend hours and hours and hours looking through our big data tool and looking at, you know, what spots are more profitable, like are Asian handicaps more profitable, are 1x2 more profitable, is a sport profitable, like these kind of things. And they're able to really, really maximize Trademate. So overall, I mean, I should probably look up the website now, but I think our live community stats is something like 3.5 million trades with a 2.7% ROI. But you can achieve a much better ROI if you really spend time digging into the analytics and trying to get as much closing line value as possible. And one of the things I probably should have mentioned earlier was that, yeah, if you are going to start Trademate Pro, you should start with a much bigger bankroll. We kind of recommend something around 20,000 euros or 20,000 pounds, something around that. So that's something that I didn't mention before that I probably should have.
Yeah, and you talked about the big data tool there. That's something we explored. And you know, certainly having used that and explored that, there's so many things you can do. You can get really granular, can't you? You can look into the sport, you can look into the type of markets within the sport, you can look into the time before the game it starts, the event it starts, the odds range. So And often I suppose you find that, you know, if someone finds something good, they're not going to share it.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend 6 hours going through your big data tool, find a really good edge and go and just announce it on Facebook or whatever, you know, because it's the reward for their hard work. So it's very similar to the tipster world, Alex. You know, I see often, you know, you can get plug in and play and get going with some of the soft stuff, but when that starts to kind of, you know, everyone else is maybe starting to use it and the edge may start to kind of get shaved off here and there. So you have to eventually move to kind of doing things, tweaking it yourself. I think that's probably the right approach. And the more time you put in, I feel the more you'll get out with this, just as with most things. But I also wanted to shift to and ask you about, you know, we talked about the big data tool and we talked about all the other different products, but what about the mental attitudes that people have, you know, who are successful and maybe those who are unsuccessful in TradeMate? Do you see any differences or any kind of qualities or skills that people have, you know, in terms of handling losing potentially? Is that one that differentiates between winning and losing?
Yeah, I think there's two things that make a successful TradeMate user. And one is education. So if you don't understand what value betting is, if you don't understand what closing line value is, variance, all these kind of things, then you're just absolutely no hope. I'm sorry to say, but like you're absolutely no hope. I mean, you are a chance of using TradeMate and being profitable because you might get lucky in your first couple hundred trades. But yeah, overall, you're never going to be able to handle the downswings because you're not going to understand like why it's happening. So I think the first aspect is the people that come in with the right mindset that understand what value betting is and how it works. Then they're always going to be able to get so much more out of TradeMate. And then the second part is just having the mental capacity to handle the downswings and the upswings and stuff like that. Because we have customers who I know I've spent hours and hours explaining to them all these kind of concepts, but they still just emotionally can't handle it. So, yeah, I think the main thing is, yeah, one, being educated enough to understand how value betting works, because people don't realize over a sample size of 1,000 bets, like for your average punter, 1,000, placing 1,000 bets in a month, which a lot of our users do quite easily, that's obscene to your average punter, like placing 1,000 bets in a month. That is like an astronomical size of bets. But realistically, when it comes to numbers and variance, 1,000 bets, there is just so much variance and so much randomness involved. So we try and tell our customers that, you know, you shouldn't really be looking at your results until you've placed maybe 2,000 bets. And even that I think is too small. Like when I'm going through the big data tool and showing people results of how TradeMate performs, I don't really want to show people or give any definitive conclusions on the data unless there's like a sample size of 5,000 bets. I mean, unless you can see that there's no closing line value, then it's kind of like it doesn't matter how big the sample size is. If the closing line value is negative, then it doesn't matter. That's a losing strategy. But, you know, if you've got 5,000 bets with 4% closing line value and you're still down, I mean, maybe something's going wrong there, but overall, you're just experiencing like the worst cases of variance. We just started doing a few customer interviews on our YouTube channel, and I've interviewed two guys so far. And the second guy that I interviewed is just like the most extreme case of variance I've ever seen. So he was profiting off TradeMate after 5,000 bets. He was profiting like 1,000 Australian dollars, which was almost, I can't remember what his EV was, but so far below his closing EV. And then he placed 200 more bets. So he went from 5,000 bets to 5,200 bets. And his profits went from $1,000 all the way up to $25,000.
Wow.
So over 200 bets, he made $24,000. But the previous 5,000, he'd made $1,000. So that just shows how crazy variance is and how much it can affect your profitability in sports betting.
That's some great advice. That's really interesting to hear about, you know, those extremes and the, you know, thought process behind education. You know, I firmly believe in educating, helping people understand like the terms you spoke about, because they really can make a difference. Because, you know, it's one thing I feel to kind of go through something like the big data tool or look at any tipster's results from a spreadsheet and from just kind of looking at what the performance has been. But when you're actually living it out live and, you know, maybe you've had a bad day and then you log into your account and you see, you know, you had 10 bets and 9 lost and 3 of them were unlucky losers. You know, it can just really eat into you, into how you feel and cope with it. So having a way to, you know, to dispassionately look at the sums of profit and loss and kind of treat them both the same, it's really good. And that's some superb advice there. And I do like the material you put out because there's a lot of good stuff on. You've got a YouTube channel, you've got your blog, you've done a series of interviews with various experts. Do you want to point people in direction of any where they can find some of the material there, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, so we're always posting new articles, and I would say we're most active on our YouTube channel. So I guess you can just type in Trademate Sports on YouTube and you'll get our podcasts or all our episodes of our podcast. And yeah, definitely head over to our blog too, because if, you know, or our ebooks. I mean, the ebooks was the first thing that I did when I first started, and they really open up your eyes for just your general person who likes to place an accumulator on the weekend or place $10 or $20 on your favorite sports team. It'll just open up your eyes because you go, like, value betting, like, this is incredible. Like, you can actually make money from sports betting with mathematical statistics or mathematics that kind of make sense. Like, over time, if you're betting on something that's 2.5 in odds but it should be 2 in odds, like, that makes sense. Mathematically, you're going to make a profit over time. So yeah, I would say probably the ebooks and the blog and, yeah, YouTube channel, all this stuff is just, like, it'll really open up your eyes to, you know, how to be a profitable sports bettor.
Yeah, absolutely. Please go check that out after the podcast because there's some good stuff on there. You know, and you talked there about making a profit, you know, making a profit sports betting, which is great. And we've got so much data and so much information at our fingertips. But the other side of the coin is how and where do we place these bets and how bookmakers impact us. So you've obviously got soft bookmakers and sharp bookmakers and for all types of people, but we call them soft bookmakers because they limit accounts. They trade the customer, they don't trade the market. So you've done some YouTube and some information on bookmaker limits, and you have some advice, I think, on some of the tactics to consider and to apply if trying to kind of go under the radar as best as you can to avoid restrictions and closures. Do you want to kind of give some of the kind of thoughts you have on that and tips to help people?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I was just going to say, I probably should have said this before. I think before I get into that question about limitations is that I reckon you could spend 2 hours or 3 hours, let's just say, reading about concepts like value betting, variance, closing line value. And I reckon you go to like the top 5% of people in the world who understand how to make a profit from betting. What do you think about that? I seriously think that if it takes like 2 or 3 hours of reading and you go from like, you go straight to the top, because I don't think the percentage of people that understand how to make a profit from betting is that high.
I agree. I don't think, you know, something simple like using Odds Checker. You know, the amount of people I talk to who are casual bettors, I go, Odds Checker, you mean you can compare odds? And he's like, yeah, you can. Oh, well, I just bet with X bookmaker or Y. I'm like, why were you doing that? You know, you could have got 50% better odds, you know, and yeah, so I agree. Something simple. We're not talking about having to spend hours and hours and hours and days increasing your skill level. We're talking about just simple fundamentals. You know, everyone I talk to has a similar concept as what you're talking about, Alex. Value betting.
I mean, what industry can you do that in? If I told you go and kick a soccer ball for 2 to 3 hours and you'll be in the 5% best soccer players in the world, you'd tell me to get absolutely lost. But when it comes to the gambling industry, it's just like it's people are so uneducated, and it's so easy to just learn a little bit in a few hours and become part of a community that understands how to make a profit from sports betting. But I mean, I can answer your other question about limitations. I mean, like I kind of said before, it's such a lottery, mate, isn't it? I mean, you probably know, you guys have put out lots of content too, and every man and his dog has that's involved in the betting world about how to keep your accounts from being limited. I mean, we recently put out a video of like top 10 tips. I mean, the ones that come to mind are betting on, so we have a recommended leagues filter inside TradeMate, which is kind of like the leagues that we recommend people to trade on in terms of efficiency, which is kind of a pretty advanced topic for most people, but more so just so they don't get their accounts limited. Like if I'm betting on the women's Malaysian third division of soccer or something like that compared to Liverpool versus Tottenham, you can guess which one looks a bit more suspicious. So what we've done is we've grouped all of the most popular leagues in the world into our recommended leagues filter, and we just say, bet on those because you're a lot less likely to get limited or a lot less likely to get limited quickly when you're betting on leagues that people normally bet on, that there's high liquidity in and that, you know, it's not going to look suspicious if you put $100 on Liverpool to win kind of thing. So, yeah, that would be the first tip, is just bet on bigger leagues. Second, I mean, you can place an accumulator here and there because that just makes your account look dumb, I would say. Like, the easiest way for bookies to make money is from accumulators, just because it multiplies their margins. But if you flip that around, though, and you can place accumulators with value bets and you're flipping around their margin and taking even more value from them, but then you've got the case of bigger odds, higher variance. But, I mean, that's another topic. So, yeah, place an accumulator here or there, combine some value bets together, makes your account look a bit dumber. What else is there, mate? I mean, the one that I see with TradeMate users all the time is because we're using the Kelly criterion. You get recommended a certain stake. So it might be something like $47 or $22, like really random numbers. Like, just round up, round down those stakes, because who goes and places $22 on something? Normally your regular punter is going to place $20 on something. So overall, you just want your accounts to look as recreational as possible. I mean, there's so many more other tips, but they're just the ones that come to mind straight off the top.
Oh, that's some good advice there. I like another one you've put forward. I think I heard it mentioned elsewhere about don't bet the maximum stake. You know, so if they'll offer you 100, whatever it is, 100 euros, don't take 100. You know, bet under that, because it's a red flag sometimes if you're betting on the maximum stake on the bet. Is that right?
Yeah, there's that one. I mean, I'm just getting up the article now. Like, yeah, I mean, there's so many like that. And one bet per game is another one. Like, if you go Liverpool minus 0.5, minus 0.75, minus 1, minus 1.25, like, that's surely just going to get your account. If you win all those bets, that's just another way to probably get yourself noticed. Your initial deposit's another one. Like, if you open an account and put in $5,000 or something ludicrous like that, like, that just automatically is going to set up a flag inside a soft bookmaker because you look like someone who's quite serious. So, yeah, that's another one, mate. And staying off social media is another one. I mean, that's a bit far-fetched, but, you know, if you're posting on social media all the time about that you've put in this great value bet that's beat the closing line, like, bookmakers know that closing line value is, they're going to lose if you keep beating their closing line. So that's another one.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Don't post your bet slips, because they can, even if you hide some of the information, I'm sure they can work it out. The other one I was going to say is withdrawals. I've had, well, I've seen them personally, and I know, obviously, you know, as soon as you, maybe you make a ton of cash in an account and you withdraw it, like, the amount of times after that withdrawal, if you take a substantial amount out, especially, you know, your account's done. So yeah, a bit of a pain, you know, because you might have all that cash sitting there and you think, oh, you know, I just want to go and spend some of that. But as soon as you take that out, you know, your account is goosed. So
yeah,
be careful though.
There's so many issues there. Like, bookmakers, one, they don't want to give you money. And two, they have to take on all the rates and whatever the exchanges are and stuff like that when they, the GSTs and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's just such an easy way to piss them off.
You know, you can have a win and you can, you know, start to make money in your account. But if you make it look like you are just going to fritter that money away, because that's what they look at. You know, everyone can get lucky. Everyone can have that big acca, or everyone can win a bunch of bets, because the bookies know about variance just as we do. But what they assume is that if you keep doing it and you're no good, then you'll lose any money that you win. So as soon as you withdraw that money, that whole opportunity goes out the window. So, you know, that's perhaps something I would suggest as well. Like, if you have some good winnings and you have a particularly big win, maybe just chuck a few spins in the casino to make it look like that money is burning a hole in your betting account and you can't wait to give it back to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many different things you can do. But yeah, I think overall, just try and seem as recreational as possible. Don't look like a sharp punter. That's the last thing you want.
No, exactly. And so, you know, I listened to some of your podcasts before, some of your guests. You know, we're talking about that situation now, but what would you like to see change? Do you think you're in Australia, you've got a minimum bet law over there. Is that working over there at the moment? Do you think that's something that could be implemented elsewhere?
Yeah, so it's only for horse racing, and I haven't bet on horses for a long, long time. Hopefully that's something we can get on the software, get inside the software next year, and then I'll be able to give you a bit more feedback on that. But I did speak to a fellow named Scott Ferguson on our podcast, who's a bit of a gambling industry guru, and he was saying that the minimum bet laws in Australia haven't really worked. Like, I mean, bookmakers kind of just have not really followed them in some cases, and governments have kind of turned a blind eye to it. So that was his opinion, that it won't make too much of a difference. I spoke to a customer who was Australian the other day, and he said he bets on horses too, and he hasn't had any problems yet. Like, they've let him on a winning bet for a horse race. You're allowed to win up to $2,000 on the win and $1,000 on the place. And he said he hasn't had any problems. So that's kind of going against what Scott said. So, yeah, I'm not too sure, mate. Hopefully I can give people some information soon if I can start betting on horses. But, I mean, rarely do I bet to win $2,000. I'm not going that well at the moment. Bankroll's not big enough yet. Sorry, what was your original? Oh, yeah, what I would like to see change. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the easiest one, isn't it? Just bookmakers to let us have more of a crack and let us bet a bit more. But I understand it's a business, mate, and at the end of the day, they're not going to change, are they, unless the governments get involved. So I think the biggest thing I'd like to see change is governments to become, I guess, more ethical in a way, because it's pretty disgusting to think that your person who's addicted to gambling and has no idea how to make a profit from betting and is just a continual loser, that bloke can go and lose tens of thousands of dollars on horses or sports betting or whatever, and that, you know, someone that's using TradeMate or someone who has an idea of how to make money from sports betting, they can only make a few hundred dollars sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, something like a minimum bet would be nice, just so you can see exactly how much you can get on. That would be nice. But, yeah, I think it's on. You kind of got to start at the top, don't you? Bookmakers aren't going to change a thing. They're making millions at the expense of punters. So I just kind of think that governments have to step in and do something.
I agree. And, you know, talking from the United Kingdom perspective, the oversight there is perhaps not what it should be. For so many bookmakers, your funds aren't protected, for example, and the onus is on the individual, you and I, to, or whoever's in the UK, to kind of make sure your funds are, you know where your funds are placed, and maybe they're not safe if the bookmaker goes bust. But yeah, it does require the governments. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen, but obviously in the news in the UK is some, there's talk about a review of the Gambling Act and affordability being one of the key points. And it's interesting to see the discussion, because they're saying that they're taking submissions for evidence and discussing it at the moment, but there could be affordability limits where you can't lose more than £100 to £2,000. I don't know if that's over a month or over a series of bet, one bookmaker or several, but it's that contradiction where gamblers can't even get on £10, but yet could afford to lose the stakes that other losing gamblers are actually able to put forward. So, yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, hopefully some sense is seen and on this side. Do you have any best or worst firms for it from a soft bookmaker point of view? Let's do a bit of naming and shaming if you wanted to do that, Alex. You know, you can get it out there.
I think they're all terrible, mate. It's pretty hard to pick out just a few because, you know, like for myself, like I've had terrible luck with, I've had accounts in different countries for someone like Unibet, and both times I've been limited after my first day of betting. So it's just like, for me, Unibet are terrible. But, you know, for others, you know, I get BetVictor were really good to me. Talked to some of the customers and BetVictor were terrible to them. So it's just like, I don't know if you have any insight into which ones are the worst, but I just kind of think they're all bad. And other than, you know, your likes of Pinnacle and whatever other sharp bookmakers there are in the world, like, they're all dirty.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that side of it, I think you have to see these soft bookmakers as a kind of a way to leap forward to some of the sharp ones. Because with the soft, you're able to make a higher ROI. Okay, you're going to get limited, but then you're going to have the bankroll. So you can start to do some of the more professional, higher staking stuff, which you can get on with the sharps or the exchanges. And you can, you know, you might only be making a 1%, 2%, 3% edge, but it doesn't matter because you're staking enough and you're betting enough, you're building a bank. Would you? Yeah, I guess you'd probably agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've got to realize that when you go from soft bookies to sharp bookies, your ROI is most certainly going to go down. But I think, like, if you can make a 1%, 2% ROI on the sharp bookies, like, that's something that should be celebrated. Like, that's bloody hard to do. So there's not many people in the world that can do that, mate. So, yeah, definitely you need a much bigger bankroll if you're going to be moving over to the sharps and exchanges.
Absolutely, yeah. You need to build it up, and everyone starts somewhere, don't they? Maybe you've got £500 and you double that, and then you double your 1,000. I think that's one of the things sometimes I come across. People come to me and say, I want to make this much a month. I say, hang on, how much are you starting off with? You know, that's kind of,
yeah.
Have you ever made a profit betting before? Maybe let's tick that box first, you know.
That's where something like match betting is like a really good way of starting too. Like some people might only have a couple hundred dollars to start. Just do some match betting. It's guaranteed profits if you do it in the right way. And, you know, all of a sudden you could have a bankroll of $2,000, $3,000. Then you can start value betting, go from there, build your bankroll to 20, 30K. And then, you know, it's a nice little journey you can go along as a better, and it's a lot easier than people think it is to make a profit from gambling.
Yeah, well, the information's out there. It comes down to how much time you put into it and all the other bits and pieces we spoke about during this podcast. So just to wrap up today, just want to ask you, do you have one bit of advice you would give to someone interested in making a profit betting, particularly via TradeMate Sports? You know, what would it be?
I can guess I can just tailor this towards like people who start TradeMate. Don't come into TradeMate and think, I'm just going to place 100, 200 bets and see how this goes and see what I think of TradeMate after 100 and 200 bets. Like, you shouldn't be coming into TradeMate thinking, is what they're doing going to make me money? I'll put my life on the line. TradeMate Sports will make you money over a large sample size of bets. Your question should be coming to TradeMate is, do I like the layout of the software? Like, are they actually getting the odds that are coming through that give me closing line value, are they actually right? Like, maybe just double check that where, you know, the odds are coming through correctly and that, you know, we're not making technical errors. I just don't think you should come into TradeMate thinking, does value betting work? Like, value betting works. There's absolutely no question about that. And so that'd be my main thing. Just come in, be educated and understand that this isn't something that you can place 100, 200 trades off and judge whether it works or not. Like, you could place 200 trades with TradeMate and lose quite a bit of money. That's possible. Very, very small percentage chance, but you're more likely to win. But I mean, I can go through some of our statistics here. Like, if you place 1,000, I think we did this last year. If you place 1,000 trades with TradeMate, you have a 67% chance of winning money. But if you place 5,000, you're an 85% chance of profiting. So don't come in with the mindset, I'm just going to place a couple hundred trades. Just, yeah, come in with the mindset of this is a long-term thing.
That's salient advice there, and something type of thing I try and exhort people to consider. You know, it's patience. It's your time in the game, not your timing of entry into it and the next 100 bets, 200 bets. It's how long you'll stick at it. So that's some great advice. Thanks for that, Alex, and thanks for joining me. And how can people interested in finding out more, how can they kind of discover more on TradeMate, maybe listen to your podcasts? What links can you share on getting in touch?
Yeah, so I mean, we're on Twitter at TradeMate Sports, YouTube, you can just type in TradeMate Sports. But yeah, if you want to go start a free week trial of TradeMate, just tradematesports.com. Don't need your credit card details or anything like that. You can start a free week trial and play around with it for a week and see if you like it.
Excellent. So, you know, I should say as well, there's a we record this podcast, just about to publish a detailed SBC review of TradeMate. You know, we're exploring many of the things we talk about today in a lot more detail. We're able to publish some stats, our own experience using it, trading. So, and I believe that I think there's a discount in there for people interested in signing up to TradeMate. So, you know, if you're interested in that, go check out the Smart Betting Club membership because it's part of the product there. But thank you ever so much, Alex. You know, appreciate you, like I say, getting up bright and early in Aussie and taking the time to give us your experience of using TradeMate and working for it. And it's just been really an entertaining chat.
Anytime, Pete, and mate, well done on all the stuff you're doing too, or all the content in this podcast. I think you're doing great stuff, mate. So look forward to hearing some of your other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to kind of recording them as well. But thanks again, Alex. And, you know, look forward to speaking to you further.
See you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this very latest Smart Betting Club podcast. If you've enjoyed it and are keen to find out more on how the SBC service can help you and your betting, you can save 5% on the cost of membership simply by using the coupon code PODCAST. Visit smartbettingclub.com, hit subscribe, and enter the coupon code PODCAST to save 5%.